once in a while I go back, well, I guess about every week I go back and I review the sermon and listen to it. Just, I think that's probably the golfer in me, that you're always kind of looking to try to get a little better and find out which holes you bogeyed and which ones you birdied, and, you know, things that you would do different the next time and maybe change things up a little bit. And so I do go back and look. And one of the things I find that I kind of repeat myself sometimes in some ideas and some themes. And it causes me to think a little bit. I think that, you know, maybe perhaps one of the reasons why God has me here is because He's laid some things on my heart, and it kind of comes through. It kind of seems like it comes through the messages different ways. And one of the things that I think you'll probably agree that you hear me say an awful lot is I kind of push us to change. You know, we are to be changing. And again, I say that not to freak people out a little bit, because, you know, a lot of times the new guy comes in and he wants to change everything. They want to, you know, redo this and change the carpet. And I'm not talking so much about that, but I think as followers of Christ, I think we are called to change. We are to be a people, individually and I think corporately as a body, that we're to become. We are to be something different than we were in our past, that we're supposed to be in this transformational type process as we go along in our faith journey, because we believe that you and I were created by God and we're His top-notch creation. You and I, humans, are His prized possession, His prized creation. And He wants us to be with Him because He made us in a special way. We bear His image. Remember in Genesis where it talked about, and we made them in our image. We are the one part of creation that bears God's image. That's what makes us so unique. The bad side about that image is messed up. The image is marred. We're not that image that we are supposed to be. We have these flaws, and the flaws come as a result of sin. All of us have this, either our own personal sin or the sin of humankind that messes up this image. But yet we're called to change. We're called to become. We're called to move from that person who we were to this person that God wants us to be. That's a message you've heard me say before, and I'll probably say it a few more times before I leave here. It just seems to be part of my nature of how I see us as followers of Christ and how I see the church working. We are in this place, and we are these people that are not yet. We are to become. The other thing I think I find myself talking an awful lot about, and it ties in specifically with what we're talking about today, is the importance of the church, the universal church, all the followers of Christ in the world, but individual churches as well. Pleasant Chapel, for sure. The importance of this institution, of this body here, and what it means. Because I really believe that the church is the organization that is going to make changes in our country and in our community for the good. I think it's the only one. I don't think it's government. I don't think it's education. I don't think it's money. I think it's an issue about morality, and it's an issue about getting people to connect with God, and it's done through the church. And I'm going to continue to emphasize that, because I think it's so important. We are this species, I just said, that has to change, but the institution by which that change is going to happen is us. It's through churches, local churches, and the universal church. We are this vehicle by which God is going to bring changes to the world by connecting more people with Him. That's just what it is we do. And I really believe that much of our problems that we face, a lot of good things in our country, a lot of good things in our world, but when you turn on the news and you see so many of the problems, I think so much of this is a result of what we could change within the church. I think it starts here. I believe we have this tremendous responsibility to create an environment where people can do just that, where people in all of our communities and throughout the world can come and connect with God and experience His mercy and His forgiveness and His grace and this transformational power to make people who it is that they are supposed to be. And that is what it is we are supposed to do now, probably more than ever. You and I, the scripture says, are to be light unto the world, and we are to be salt of the earth. We are this mechanism, this instrument by which change will happen. Not by government, not by education, not by some humanistic system that's put in place. I just don't think so. I think it's us. I think it is on us. So then I think about our church. How are we as a church? How would you describe our church? And I think sometimes, how are we doing at this? How are we doing the business of the church in regards to making these changes or being a part of God making these changes in our community? You know, sometimes there's a disconnect, I believe, by the way we look in our world, the things that we see in this community, the kind of things that happen in this community, and then we come here on Sunday morning and we think a little bit about church, and there's this separation, there's this disconnect between the two. And how is it we should be connected with the rest of the world to do His work? And sometimes when we're there and I get describing the church a little bit, and the best, you know, I just will say maybe the church is mediocre. It's okay. And I don't mean that specifically for Pleasant Chapel. It may apply. But I think just in general, the churches I've been a part of in regards to the big picture kinds of things about what it is we're supposed to do, where the world's at, how this changes to take place, what we've been called to do, I just have this kind of okay feeling about what the church does. Because, you know, think about this. Here's some things that we say. These are some things that we profess as followers of Christ. We will say that we are a people, you and I, are a people who were once lost and doomed. We were damned because of who we were before we met Christ. We were lost. But now we have been found and we have been given life. We've been given this life that has purpose and meaning now, and also an eternal life to be in His physical presence forever and ever. We say that, but yet there are so many around us, your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends that are lost. There's a disconnect there between us as a church and a lost world. You know, we can also say that we have tremendous joy in our lives by being connected with God and being connected with other followers of Christ. But I don't think it takes you very long to think about your circle of people. And there are people you know that just don't have that joy. They live in a life that's just not joy-filled because they have this center about them that is Jesus Christ. Or even within our church here, are we a people that have this joy about us because whose we are and what Christ has done for us? There, again, is this disconnect. We say that our life has meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And it does. As a follower of Christ, we get things more. We have a new perspective on what this experience is all about as being human beings. When we have that kind of fulfilled life, but then there's so many around us that you know just don't have meaning and they don't have purpose in their life. There is this disconnect between who we say we are and how it is that we should be engaging our world. Because we've been called to do that. Jesus told us to go and make those connections. Go into the nations and make disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's our marching orders. That is the mission of the church, for us to go and connect. Go and connect with this world out there that's dark and lost and doomed and hopeless and helpless. We are to do that. And I say these things don't think I'm just making these negative kind of statements to criticize or condemn, you know, this church at all. That's not the purpose. You know, we want us to kind of look at how it is we are performing that mission and how it is we are fulfilling what it is that we are called to do, and maybe critically look at that a little bit and then determine what's some next steps we can take to make some improvements so we can be that church that God has a vision for. What is it that we should be doing here to be better about fulfilling that great commission at Pleasant Chapel? How is it we can have this place that is thriving, a church that's thriving, not just surviving, but thriving, and people that aren't just coming, but they're flourishing because they are becoming? How is it we can do that? What are some of these next steps we could take? How would you talk about Pleasant Chapel? How's Pleasant Chapel? How would you? Don't blurt anything out. Thank you. pretty good except for the pastor. No. Yeah, I think sometimes we might say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Well, you know, sometimes...
Have you ever worked for Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Have you seen these commercials? You know, this is the... Maybe there's one thing good about winter. If this is the season of commercials, you know, because we got Super Bowl coming up and everybody's coming out with their new gigs. Well, this is AT&T, and they got a whole series of these, and they're just a bunch of them. They make me laugh. Excuse me. And if you didn't catch it there, but here's this guy. He's in the hospital. He's got something wrong with him, and the nurse is there, and it looks like perhaps it's the patient's wife, and she asks the nurse, "Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?" And did you catch what the nurse said? She came back and says, "Oh yeah, he's okay. He's okay." And they ask, "Just okay?" And then he walks in. Did you catch what he said there? He walks in. "Hey, guess who just got reinstated?" Not really. You know, he's not officially yet. And so he looks over at the patient and he says, "Are you nervous?" Well, who wouldn't be? You know, he's in there for some procedure or something. You know, he's probably going into surgery, and he's going into surgeon whose middle name is Okay. You know, he's just okay. Don't worry about it. See you in there. We'll figure it out when we get in there, you know. Can you imagine when okay, just okay, is not okay? You got this guy. He's in need. He has this obvious great need. He wouldn't be in the hospital if he didn't have the need. And he's seeking help. He's looking for someone to meet the needs that he has. And he's finding that person there is just okay. Well, let's turn it around a little bit and let's think a little bit about how that might apply to us. Rather than a patient in a hospital bed, consider this fella here. Here is a patient, and he may have a disease, but his disease is that he's far from God. This might be somebody you know that has not made a connection with God, and he's got a lot of problems as a result of it. He is seeking help that he doesn't know quite how to find it. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a spouse. But he is far from God, and he is suffering from the consequences of what that means, to go through this life missing this purpose that we as humans are supposed to have. It's to reconnect with our Creator. And he lays in his hospital bed, sits on his park bench, whatever, in need, seeking help. Or maybe it is a classmate. And she is without hope. She goes to Huntington North High School here, and she's just confused because she cannot see what this is all about. And she's contemplating perhaps taking her life. You see, she has a handful of pills there. Young girl, teenager in 2019 in Indiana. It's hard. It's hard. It's difficult being a teenager today. Again, far from God and seeking help, not unlike the guy laying in his hospital bed. Or maybe it is a coworker that you work with, or maybe it is someone at the Heritage, or perhaps it is someone you used to work with that's now retired and they're alone. And maybe they are broken because of finances. They can't make ends meet and they are crushed. Perhaps they have a totally disastrous relationship, a failed marriage, and they are lost. All of those people, the three that you see in the screen there, they're seeking and they are wondering about where to get help, where to find truth, where to make this connection that they can get their needs met, not unlike that man that laid in that hospital bed with Dr. Okay. They're seeking. And then they make maybe a connection with you and they say, "Hey, I'm struggling. Don't you go to that church out there northwest of Roanoke called Pleasant Chapel?" They may not say it in words. They might not verbally say it, but you have a connection with them. An opportunity where people that are far from God could be brought close to God and have some of these needs met, and they give real purpose to their life. and give them the opportunity to seek God's mercy and His grace through forgiveness. Don't you go to that church out there, Pleasant Chapel, that cool-looking building out there in the middle of that cornfield. That's the question that would have been asked by the wife to the nurse. What's your response? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. What would that do? How would that land with people that are in a need? How is it, and again, you might not say it with words, but here's people in your circle that need to be made connected with God and just okay. And then about then the pastor walks in the middle of the conversation and says, hey, our giving's not what it ought to be. We've got to do something about that. Hey, have you heard what the conference is going to do with the homosexuals? We've got a big debate about that. Stupid printer toner's out of ink there. We can't get that thing to work to run off the newsletter, you know. That's what just okay pastor comes in. And that's what is this seeking individual, this person laying in their hospital bed, figuratively. These people that are needing to make this connection. And they think about a church that is just okay. Well, just okay, as the slogan goes by AT&T, is just not okay. I think this is a time for us, as we review this, that we've got to think about going from okay to being not okay, but something greater than that. And I don't think you can just wait for it to happen. I just don't think it's just going to miraculously happen on its own. I think there is some intentionality about what it is that we do, and we need to be deliberate about how we go about thinking about this church and what God's plan is for this church. And a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about it starts with a prayer. It's not the pastor's vision, and it's not the pastor's plan, and it's not any administrative council's plan, and it's not the trustee's decision. This is us individually, but corporately together praying for God to show us how is it we can go from a church that's not just okay? Because we have a world that needs a place that's not just okay. It's a place that thrives, is centered on Christ, and is attractive for people to come to know Him. We need to do all we can to seek His direction so that we, whatever we can do, would be what He would have us do because He has empowered us to do that. I used to think, you know, it had a lot to do with an organization's leadership, and that's what moved and made places go from being good to being great. And I also thought it had a lot to do with what programs were being offered or what's the cool trend, what are the trendy churches doing, you know, those kinds of things. Sure, I think that makes some churches grow, and I think that can get some things going, but so often when you see that, you've seen this in the past, you've seen their churches or other organizations that do this, they get a dynamic leader that comes in and they institute some things and it just blows up, and then that leader leaves and the church goes the other way. You've seen that happen, churches and other schools, you know, how that all can work. And I think you can have some short-lived progress there, but I don't think that's what we should be about. It's about this long sustained place that is attracting people to come to know our God. And I think that happens only, I believe, when that happens with you. I don't think it is as much at all about leadership or programs or what is trending. I think it happens when we see changes in all of us individually that are taking these faith steps. That we would look at where I'm at in this journey and what is it God's calling us, me specifically, to do. And then all of us doing that make this body, this thing that moves and grows and becomes. And so that's kind of what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Last week was awesome. Everybody got my jokes, and we made a lot of progress last week. I got a lot of flack from you on that one, too. That, you know, the week before I said, we'll meet no matter what. The doors will be open. God's still laughing about that one. We'll show them out there. So we started looking at this, and we started looking a little bit about our church model here, and a little bit about how we function. This is how any church is kind of put together here. And we started thinking a little bit about where we're at. And just to briefly describe this again, sorry, you may have heard this over again, but the center of a church is all about praising God. It is about glorifying Him and worshiping Him, and the center of that is Christ and what He has done for us, and that is us. I believe that's what this church is about. That's why you're here this morning. You're here to worship Him, and the center of that is this worship experience that we do, not just for 50 minutes on a Sunday, but throughout our lives, our whole lives. Whatever we do is an act of worship. The outer ring there is we've always been called to do what it is we do as a church, as a family. Not individual people out here doing these things. We all do that, but church is supposed to be a community, a family. It's done in fellowship. And I believe those two blue things up there, I think we've got going on here. I think that's Pleasant Chapel. This family is very, very strong. Very committed to each other. There's not little pockets of, you know, families that have fought through the years like you see in so many churches. If you've ever been part of another church, you can nod your head because you know that is often the case, but not here. Very strong community here. The two wings out there, the purple ones, are the ones that we're going to spend a little bit more time on. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the discipleship one there. If we are to be this church that's thriving, go into the nation to make disciples. What does that mean? Well, that means you go get these people that want to continue to learn about Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, one who just keeps learning. That's the definition of disciple, is learn, to learn. How are we doing with that? When people are here, when they're brought in, do we give them opportunities to move their spiritual journey, where they are becoming Christ-like, where they're coming to know things about God, and they're also coming to know Him personally? Discipleship. How are we doing with that? So last week we gave you several opportunities here that you filled out. If you didn't do this, there's just some suggestions here on how you might in 2019 think a little bit about, these are some things in regards to my discipleship that, you know, maybe I think I had to consider this. I think God's nudging me perhaps that I should spend more time in prayer, for example. That's on here. Or, you know, in this year, I need to know Scripture a little bit more. I need to know my Bible a little bit more. I want to commit to Bible reading daily or a couple times a week or whatever. If you didn't have this last week, they're on the back. I'd like for you to fill those out and give those back to me. But that's what we did last week. We talked a little bit about what discipleship would mean. Today, we want to talk about the other side here, which another aspect of church is the first word in that commission is go. Go and make disciples. We're not just supposed to come here and do this on Sunday and then just forget about it. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to go out and connect with that world. Go out and serve people. Take care of their need. People need, they've got troubles. Go help them. Go connect with them. Go establish relationships with them. Put yourself in a position that they can ask you about me, is kind of what God seems to be saying. So how is it we go and serve? How is it that we can use the talents and skills and abilities I have to go out into the world and make those connections by serving people? The familiar passage that we use here comes from Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians. He said there's a variety of gifts. You know, I can't sing worth a lick, but some of you can sing. Some of you have very great talents mechanically. Kind of not. Some of you are very good at being hospitable to people. Some of you are not. Everybody's got a gift or a talent, but Paul says there's a variety of these gifts. Everybody's got gifts, but it comes from the same Spirit. It comes from our Lord. There's a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We've been given this stuff that we can go and we can share and we can do. And so what I'd like to do is similar to what we did last week. I want you to kind of get yourself in a state of prayer a little bit, because I'm going to make some suggestions to you. And like last week regarding those discipleship suggestions, I'm going to suggest some things that you may participate in, how you could serve in this church. And if you feel like, you know, this is something that's clicking with me a little bit, jot it down. I've got pens and papers all around you there. I'd like for you to jot that down for you, because again, it's, if you're getting pushed, it's not coming from your pastor, it's coming from God. And this is just an opportunity to throw some ideas out there. And if you are prayerfully going through this, you may find some things that are a match. If so, note it. You don't need to write them all down, but you might find some areas that you would like to serve. So I got, I don't know, about four screens full here, three screens full of some ideas here. The first ones come kind of in the area of this worship service. Now, there's some overlap here a little bit, but you think about how we go about making this hour of corporate worship time together here. So think about this a little bit, and are there some areas here that may click with you? Would you participate perhaps in the choir? Maybe you would like to praise God through a song, through a solo, playing an instrument. Perhaps you'd like to lead congregational singing. Help with AV. The Rally does an outstanding job with slides and sound. I'm not trying to fire Rally at all, but Rally probably could use a break every once in a while too. But maybe that's you'd be interested in that. Maybe you'd like to participate in worship by giving a prayer or reading scripture or even sharing a message. Maybe you would assist in planning worship service or special worship events. Maybe you have some ideas about how we could do this corporate worship a little bit differently. Perhaps you have been given this heart for prayer. And part of what you would do is just pray for and maybe through the worship service, that you would be asking God to make himself known and to manifest himself in this act of worship that we do. Maybe you would like to participate on the usher and or safety team. You'd like to help out with that. Or give the children's message. Or help with the coffee and refreshments. And I know in the past we've had some people help with just making the outside look attractive with landscaping and flowers. That might be maybe that's your thing. Maybe you're a good money counter, because we need people, when the offerings are done, we need to have that money counted and double checked. Maybe you like to, that's all stuff that has to get done, and it's also important. As we go through these things, you might come up with something. My list isn't exhaustive here. If you come up with something else, you can jot that down too. Worship ideas. The next set here has to do with, you know, maybe how is we connect socially and provide opportunities where we can have events where people might get introduced to this family. So here are some we have here. Plan to participate in a work team to do service projects. You know, we've got people that go and they cut wood or they do house repair or those kinds of things. I'd like to be part of that. I'm good with my hands. I just like to be part of a team to go do that. Maybe you're good with visiting people. You know, particularly those that can't get out of their home very well or in a nursing home or something. But I just like to go and talk with people and share a little bit about what's going on with the church. Maybe you'd like to be part of some people to do that. Plan to participate in fundraising activities such as those like our tenderloiners and or soup suppers. You know, might have the skill of organizing to call people to have a fundraising thing. Community events that we need to make ourselves known, to show ourselves, make ourselves present in Roanoke, like Taste of Roanoke, and I think they're going to First Fridays and Fall Fest. I'd like to get more involved in that. Might be your thing. You might like to help with the monthly newsletter called The Traveler. Maybe you'd like to help with some of that. Maybe you've never been part of the UMW, the group that's been going on here for a long, long time. Maybe you'd like to be part of that. Or help with funeral meals. We could do a better job at, as new people come in, to have a welcoming group of people. I drop the ball on this so many times. People come in here and I don't get their names quick enough or their contact information to do a follow-up. Maybe that would be your thing, where you could step out and meet people and help us connect. Maybe you would like to work on our social media stuff, like with our web page or our Facebook page or our calendar. Some ideas. That's just some ideas on some things that you could participate in. Maybe it triggered something else. Jot that down if it did. The last group here is on education. Maybe you are interested in leading a small group or a Sunday school. I'd like to teach. I'd like to get a small group of people and provide some leadership on a small group study. Maybe you'd like to help with our youth. If so, maybe put a grade level down there as well. I really have a heart for junior high kids. like to help perhaps with children's church. I don't think I have it down here, but maybe give a children's message. No, I had that on the other page. Yeah, if you'd like to do that. Help with Vacation Bible School is another option. This has come up a couple different times, but maybe our church should be offering some specialized training. We've talked about like some medical things. Maybe, not first responder, what do you call a... somebody has a heart attack, you know what to do. Thanks. CPR, yeah. You know, maybe you have that ability, or some other specialized training. It would be really good for our church to be able to know this. Maybe that's something that you would like to do there. So, did you jot anything down? Did you find anything that maybe clicked a little bit or stuck it up here? Did you find any areas that might be a fit? The last one, and we're probably going to hit a little bit more on this. We are going to hit this more next week. But another way you can serve, it is an outreach, it's financial. How is it that I can use what God's given me in my finances to be able to expand God's kingdom through the ministries of this church? And we'll talk more about this next week, but, you know, we've got the basic general fund, we've got the building fund to take care of this stuff, and then we have all these other charities that we are a part of, and we're going to talk more about that next week. But that is another area that you can serve this church as well. Now, I know Cousin Eddie's going to get mad at me because he did put on his blue sheet last week that he didn't want to have any more homework in church. Not to name any names, but I want you to transfer what you jotted down to this pink sheet to help us all know how you're being pulled in the area of ministry. I'll give you about 3 minutes to fill this out. We even got music for you again. As you exit here in a moment, I got my work hats in the back there again. Last week, that's where we put your papers. You can put them in there on your way out. And I want you to know you're seeing my faith executed here a little bit, because I really do believe that we are the instrument of great change, and my faith is in you all as you seek God to see and show you how it is He wants you to serve and to become. And it's just awesome to be a part of that. I look so forward to seeing what He has in store for us. So let's stand and